Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Today is Monday, December 15th, and we're back here as usual. Welcome to the show. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Sam.
How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good, too. I'm good, too. It's a Monday, and I'm ready for another week. Next week is going to be a short week, right?
Next
week
is Christmas.
The holiday, right? But this week is still a full week, and we've got to go steam ahead, you know? So, did you have a nice weekend?
I had a great weekend.
Really?
Actually, I celebrated my birthday early with some friends.
Oh, when is your birthday?
Next Monday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have to remember that then.
Yeah. I turned 30.
Wow.
So, it was great.
That's cool.
It was a surprise party at my best friend's apartment. She had everybody there, and we did yoga. She brought in a yoga teacher, and then we had brunch, and it was really
so
wonderful.
They gave you a surprise.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. So did you go out to eat and stuff?
No, we had brunch at her apartment after
the yoga. At her apartment.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
She cooked and did everything, brought in bottles of champagne. We had mimosas.
Wow, that's cool. That makes you feel important, huh?
Oh, yeah. Definitely loved. Thanks, friends.
So, this is cool. So, are you going to any Christmas parties or anything?
I am. I have a couple this week. Mm-hmm. And then, obviously, real Christmas is around the corner. So, that will be a busy day.
And you can't miss that, being Jen the Jew.
No.
You can't miss Christmas.
My family, actually, we're all in a group chat. And they just wrote, okay, Jen, Mayor of Christmas, tell us how much we're allowed to spend on our Christmas gifts this year. We have a secret Santa.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Huh? Okay. Is he Jewish?
All of the family is Jewish. So,
yeah. Santa's got to be too.
Well, it's secret Santa. So we pick out of a hat, basically, using an automated thing online called Elfster. And everybody gets assigned one person, and we have to get that person a gift. So we don't have to get everybody, all 10 of us, a gift.
Yeah. So it's called Elfster?
Yeah, Elfster.com.
Really?
Yeah, and it does like a whole automated selection process, and you pick a secret Santa.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very cool stuff. I mean, they've got stuff for everything, you know?
Oh, yeah. It's great. It makes it so convenient because then no one knows who each other has. And, I mean, I'm the one leading it. Even I don't know who everyone will have. And you can make, like, your wish list, and people can click on links and stuff and just order directly through the website. It's great.
Wow.
Very convenient.
Wow. People think of everything, man. We'll see what happens after Christmas, though. I mean, that app's going to only last about a couple months, right?
Well, it's been around for a long time. I've used it actually
for
multiple occasions because it's called Elfster, but you can also use it for birthdays. And anytime you need to plan like a gift exchange of some kind, you can do it through there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sounds I'm sure there are others, too. I just have always used Elfster.
Okay. I'll have to keep that in mind next time. So it sounds like kind of a bridal registry or something, right? I mean,
kind of. You can basically
tell
put
people
what
you want. Yeah.
Yeah. I plan on putting all the things I want on there.
Really?
Very specific items.
Yeah. Are they pretty expensive?
No, they range.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. They got some really great sales. You know, I mean, I went into Old Navy yesterday. I can't believe it. I mean, you know, we were talking about to the stylist last week that was here, and we were talking about finding bargains and things.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, $5, $10, you know, I mean, shirts and things like that, sweaters. I mean, that's unbelievable. I never go shopping, but, you know, I sort of checked it out because someone said, well, they've got nice stuff. Check it out.
Yeah, they do. They have also great commercials. Did you see the ones with Amy Poehler, and now they're with Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Basically, them freaking out about the fact that the amazing sweaters people are wearing are only like $5 and $10.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know how they make money, but apparently they do. I mean, the line was out the door almost.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's how. That's how they make money.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure it costs $2 to make the items, so they sell it for $5.
Yeah, that's what I told my friend. I said, just imagine how much money they really make on those clothes, you know, that they can mark them down so much and still make money.
The margin has to be
good.
And also, it's part of that same line of Gap and Banana Republic and Piperlime. So they probably cover their bases with the other brands,
right,
and make money off the more expensive ones as well.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, so they own the other ones too, right? Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, maybe they will make a lot of money. So yesterday I wanted to see the new movie Exodus, Gods and Kings. Mm-hmm. And so we had like an hour before, and I'm like, oh, you know, we'll just wait. There's no people here. So we go back at like 15 minutes before, everything's sold out. You know, you only have the front row.
Oh, and I'm that's like, the
worst. There's no way. Yeah, there's no way. So then we went to another theater and we actually saw that. And this movie got really bad reviews.
Yeah, I heard.
By both the critics and the viewers. But I actually enjoyed it. We enjoyed the movie. You know, the thing is, you have to understand something. Some people don't view movies the way the Academy does, you know, like, you know, they always look for those dramas, you know, those like where there's really fine acting and stuff.
Right.
But I go to the movies for entertainment, you know, I want to get away. I don't want to think about heavy things.
Right.
You know?
I mean, it's 2 hours of your life. I'm going to be entertained. Exactly. And that's all I care about. I'm not going to go review it when I get home.
Right. You know, and I'm just during the whole movie, I'm just in awe. How you make a movie like that, you know, even with all the special effects and everything, you just go, how did they build these buildings and stuff, even though they're just facades, mm-hmm. you know, like at Universal Studios and stuff. But still, I mean, it's like, it's just amazing how they build things like this, you know?
Yeah, it's fascinating. And I really want to see it because of that same reason. I think it looks like it'll be a beautiful, fascinating, exciting movie because that story, I think, you know.
Yeah, it really is, you know. And they changed the story, and that's why, I mean, they changed it according to their vision and stuff of what things happen. So, like, God reveals itself as a little boy. You know, and that's like throughout the whole movie. But that boy's kind of irritating, too.
Oh, know? Really? Well.
But what's
but
his
you
name?
Liked
Christian,
it.
Yeah, Christian Bale did a fine job playing Moses. And the movie was entertaining. I would definitely recommend it. So anybody who's out on the fence should definitely check it out.
I might go see it with my family over the holidays then.
Yeah, you should. It's pretty good. Not very close to the story of the Bible, but who cares, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, the special effects were amazing. And the story was good, too. It's just that people are saying, yeah, this movie is racist. It's only got white people, and the black people are, like, in lesser roles and things like that. I don't know why people have to look for this stuff everywhere, you know? I mean, sometimes there's, like, all black movies, and nobody says anything.
Right, they're not like, oh, where's the white person in the movie?
Right, you know? So, you know, and nobody says anything. So I think it has to do with what the movie is about and what it's like, you know?
Right.
So.
And it's not even accurate, like you said. So.
Yeah, it's not accurate.
Calm down, critics. Everybody's a critic.
Everybody's a critic. You're right.
For some reason. I don't know what that's about. I don't feel the need to, like, critique
everything. Everybody thinks they're, like, they know movies and, you know, and stuff. Because
and everything's always, like, a racial issue or a bigger issue than it, like, how about it's just what it is?
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Exactly.
Move on.
You know, it's a vision of a filmmaker, you know. You don't have to like it. You don't have to agree with it. You don't have to see it.
Right.
Yeah. So that's that film. And it's Ridley Scott. You know, I like his movies. He did Gladiator and all these big movies.
Yeah.
Alien. And so, you know, I mean, I don't know how they make those big movies. You know, the same with, like, they had the previews of The Hobbit, for example.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not into those at all. But the way they make these movies are just amazing.
Yeah, I'm not into them either. But I would see it just because of that.
Yeah.
Because it looks like it would just be something that you have to see. Kind of like Avatar.
Yeah, yeah. It's like eye candy.
Right.
And, but yeah, I don't even see, I mean, how do people think about all these stories, you know? There's like such fantasy and stuff. And people think about amazing things, you know?
Everybody's brain works differently. Yeah. I have no idea.
Yeah, I know. But people like that stuff, you know? So a couple things before we get to our guest in the studio. We have a returning guest who is awesome. And did you hear about the siege in Sydney, Australia?
Yes.
That was something, huh?
Yeah.
A hostage taker took over a cafe in Sydney and held hostages and stuff. I guess they ended up killing him. But this was definitely not something that happens in Australia. And it just shows you how terrorism now is everywhere.
Yeah. His demands were two things. One was an ISIS flag.
Right.
And what was the other thing? Do you remember?
No, I don't remember that one. I just remember the flag, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just because, like, ISIS stood out to me, I was like, oh, God.
Yeah. You know.
Another one. But it seemed like he was working alone.
Probably, but yeah. Yeah, but that's the thing is that, you know, I mean, this hatred is, like, everywhere, you know, and it doesn't stop. And I'm just concerned that, you know, it's spilling over to Australia and everything now. So you never know where it might end. But my question is, where is everybody? Why is nobody stopping ISIS, you know?
Right.
I mean, because it's just growing and it's a bigger problem.
I think they're trying to. But if it's like lone people.
But nobody's trying to. We don't have any soldiers there. You know, we don't have any
troops.
Well,
not in Australia. But don't we
have
them?
No, not in Australia. I mean, in Iraq and Syria. We don't have anything. We're just bombing them from the air. Oh. Which is useless, you know. And not only us, but countries that are that have more at stake, you know, like Arab countries and stuff, you know, mm-hmm. they should be involved, but they're not.
No.
Yeah. So that's that. And then the last thing is I wanted to bring up is the dropping gas prices. Have you seen the prices?
Yes.
Isn't that something?
It's exciting. I thought that would never happen. I was like, it's only going to get worse. It's going to be $10 and I'm never going to drive again.
Yeah.
But actually, I got gas this morning.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like $2, like they said. It's only in 13 states that it's like dropped below
$2. Yeah, below $2. Yeah. But we still have a cheap $2.70 or something, $2.60, right?
Yeah. I think I spent $25 this morning and filled up almost my whole tank.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's almost half the price of what it usually is. Mm-hmm. And everybody's
just in time
happy.
For the holidays.
Right. But, you know, for consumers, it's good, but not for the stock market. I mean, it dropped quite a bit because investors are afraid that when gas prices are dropping, it means that demand is dropping too, and which could signal like a slowdown. So, you know, we don't think about these things. We just think, oh, cheap gas.
Right.
You know?
Like, yay for us.
Right.
Sorry, economy.
But the people that are looking forward are saying this is not very good news.
Right.
You know, and the market dropped quite a bit the past couple of days. So so that's that. Anyway, let's get to our guest now. And we have Laurel House in the studio. Welcome to the show, Laurel.
Thank you.
Very beautiful, very smart, very fun. And you've been on the show before a couple times.
I have, yeah.
Right? The first time was that dating...
The Great Love Debate. Yes, which was a very interesting event.
Yeah. What do you mean by interesting?
Well, it was a singles event where there were, I think we had 8 experts on stage.
Right.
And then about 100 singles in LA, half men, half women. And they were asking questions of basically, why are we single? What's wrong with us?
Right.
And we had to give the coaches gave our opinion as to why they were single.
Oh, I wish I went to that.
Yeah.
What was interesting, though, is the Great Love Debate was all over the country. I went to a couple of them. And the one in LA was the most superficial of them
all. Of
course. Wow.
They were talking about, like, well, what if he doesn't drive a nice car?
And,
really, honestly.
Yeah.
It's just people are so... just don't understand the reality of relationships. It's not about wants, it's about needs. And I think that's where so many people in Los Angeles get lost. And that's why people have a hard time maintaining a relationship. It's all about, oh, well, he's hot. Well, he's funny. Well, look at her body. It doesn't, honestly, at the end of the day, turn off the lights. Can you have a conversation?
Yeah, that's
true. And will
that
conversation go on for years?
Right. Yes. Do you respect them? Do you admire them? Do you communicate? Those are the things that actually...
Yeah,
exactly. Do they make me feel good or do I feel like I don't matter? So...
Right.
Yeah, anyway, that was what the Great Love Debate was about.
Okay, so very superficial.
It was, unfortunately.
Right. Why do you think people become like that in LA? Is that because everybody else seems to have a nice car and a nice woman and good looking, you know, like arm candy and things like that?
You know, it's hard for me to say. not because it's I don't know, but because I don't like to.
you don't want to admit it.
No, I was born in LA, right. And I feel like I was born with very good values. All of my friends who were born here, we are the same mentality. But so many people came here to be discovered. There's nothing wrong with that. But right. I think because of that, they put on this facade of perfect all the time. Because in order to be discovered, you have to have perfect hair and makeup, perfect car, perfect personality, always happy, always whatever it is. That goes deeper than just the facade and starts to actually root into who we are in a lot of ways.
Right.
And we forget how to be ourselves.
Right.
And I think that's the reason why we end up putting, because when we go to an event, it's not just about, oh, maybe I'll meet a nice person. It's, and maybe he'll help me with my career, or right. maybe she will hire me for a role, or it's not just here I am. It's here I am and my very best. What do you think? Do you want to hire me?
Right.
Everybody has an agenda.
Exactly. And it's just, I'm a dating coach, and with my clients, I say, just go to the bar, to the party, to the event with the goal of connecting with someone. That's it. Not of getting hit on, not of getting a job, not of finding your boyfriend or girlfriend, just connecting. If that means that you smile, a genuine smile with someone across the room, if that means that you're inspired by someone, it's take the pressure off.
Yeah.
Totally.
That's true. That makes sense, you know?
Yeah.
Wow. So you're a dating and relationship coach.
Yes.
So you actually help people find the right one.
Well, I help them to become their best self first, and then I teach them how to flirt. I have clients who I actually take out, both men and women, and teach them how to talk to members of the opposite sex and have substantive conversations, then how to rein them in and keep them, and then break up with them if you have to, and move on. Yeah. And so I have clients of all ages and of all issues. But what's interesting is there is some consistency, regardless of age. I have had clients from 16 to 82 years old.
Oh, wow.
And I was on the show MTV's Made as a mentor with this chick who was 16 years old. And her issues were the same as clients that are 82 who live in Switzerland.
Wow.
And it's really that women have a hard time voicing their needs, number one. So we don't know how to say, hey, I'd like this, or I want this, or I need this. We have this fear, and it's a fear of not being too pushy, not how do you do this in a feminine way? How do I come across as not too aggressive? There's so many things that go into voicing your needs. And it's an issue regardless of how successful or not successful, beautiful or not beautiful you are. Right. The other one is vulnerability. And this is an issue with both men and women. Vulnerability is really your greatest strength if you use it correctly and strategically. And people are afraid to be vulnerable because, again, it's that facade. It's the perfect.
Right. And, yeah, and I mean, when you're vulnerable, I mean, you expose yourself to pain and hurt and all
exactly.
that stuff. And people don't want to mess with that.
Right,
you know?
But that's also your greatest asset. I mean, if you look at the people who are closest to you, so your closest friends, your loved ones, whoever it is, first of all, how do you connect in the first place? You connect through vulnerability oftentimes, through shared experiences, through understanding. And then what do you most love about them? You don't most love that they are so beautiful. Or they are so perfect all the time. Right. Like, what do you actually love about them? You love their vulnerability. You love what they have had to overcome in order to become the person who they are today. Mm-hmm. So if you're hiding that about yourself, what you're actually doing is making yourself not lovable.
Right.
Right, yeah. You sort of like raise a wall between you and other people.
You're also making yourself forgettable.
Right.
And that's one of the reasons why so many clients of mine, when they first come to me, it's like, well, I have dated this guy, went on 3 dates or 5 dates. We slept together and then he never called me. I thought it was going so well. It's not because you slept with him. It's actually because you were so boring. Because after a while, he's looking for more depth. Right. And you keep on talking about how perfect you are and how you love your job and let's go to the spa, let's go to the party, let's go to the whatever. But they're not having substantive, vulnerable, real conversations that show their humanity, and you become forgettable. What makes you memorable is your humanity. Mm. And we're so afraid of showing that because we're afraid of being hurt.
That's true, yeah. And I think, you know, I mean, you go to parties and stuff and you pretty much see what it is that you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's like, I mean, there's people there, you can communicate with them, but you feel that they're somewhere else, yeah. You know? They're not really with you.
I feel like nobody's present anymore.
They're not.
Yeah.
What they're putting forth is their facade. It's like, here I am. I've designed this for you.
Right. So and they're good at it now.
Yeah, that's what I think you would like, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But then what's, you know, pull that down and what's behind? I've dated guys in the past who drive 2014, 2015 Porsches and they have no money.
Really?
Oh, yeah. That's the worst.
They spend all the money on the Porsche,
and it's the same thing with the women who are so beautiful. And then you wake up the next morning and you're like, wait, are you same girl I met last night, because you don't look like her. You know, it's just we put out these facades. There's a book that I love, not my own as much as I love mine, but there's a book I really love. It seems like a child's book, but it's actually not. It's called The Knight in Rusty Armor. And it's...
That's genius.
It's so great. And it's about this knight who he loves that he saves everyone. Like, he owns that. He's so proud of it. And after a while, he's so proud of his armor that he doesn't want to take it off. Mm. And his wife can no longer talk to him through this armor, and he can't communicate because he's so married to his job of being the knight that he completely loses himself.
Wow.
And he actually is unable to remove his armor after a while because it gets affixed to his body, and he has to go on this journey to try and figure out how to remove the armor.
Right. So it's sort of a metaphor for what it is.
It's a great
about.
It's very, very short. It's a great book.
I love it already. I need to read that.
It's fantastic. Yeah, I'm a huge fan. Yes, and my book. Yeah.
Sounds good. Well, for those of you just joining us, we're talking to Laurel House. She has a website called ScrewingTheRules.com. Yes. And you also have a book called...
Screwing the Rules, The No Games Guide to Love. It's actually coming out in 2 weeks, but you can buy it now on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and everywhere online, and it will be delivered in time for the holidays.
Whoa,
so,
congratulations.
Thank you.
That's very exciting.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a book. I mean, like a baby, right?
It finally is.
You deliver the baby.
What's interesting about this book, this is actually my fifth book. This is the first book where I've been vulnerable. And it was when I went to sell it, my publisher is Running Press. They did another, I went with them because they did the book Skinny Bitch, which I love. I love how edgy and tongue in cheek, but it's very substantive behind that. So they said, we love the title, but you know what? You seem too perfect, so we don't think we're going to buy it. And I was like, I swear I'm not perfect. And they said, well, that's what you're showing us. Yeah. Because I went in saying, I've been married twice. I've been engaged a third time, proposed to 9 times. Like, I know this whole dating thing. And they're like, and you're a blue-eyed blonde from L.A. I mean, no one's going to relate to you. So I said, believe me, I have messed up so many times. And that's how I really got the idea for the book. And they said, show us. So the beginning of every chapter is my failure. And it was really hard to write.
Yeah.
I felt like Diane Keaton. I don't know if you saw this movie, but in Something's Gotta Give.
My favorite movie.
Oh my gosh. At the end.
She's just crying.
Sobbing. That was me writing this book. I'm sobbing and typing, like could not see my computer. And it was because it was so real. I was talking about major heartbreak and things that I've been called by boyfriends and how I have completely lost myself in relationships and had to put myself back together and not knowing who I was and sleeping with the wrong guys and waking up the next morning feeling like a whore and you know, all of these things that we all go through.
We all do. This sounds like something every girl can relate to.
It is. It really is. And it's also not just for singles. It's for people who are married. I mean, I've been married. I've been in relationships where I've lost myself. Mm. And that's a really scary and lonely thing to experience. Mm-hmm. So there's a huge chunk of this book that's just about becoming your best self, getting a life, you know, remembering who you are and then being that person, because you cannot be in a partnership if you aren't an individual.
Right, exactly.
People forget that all the
time. And we were talking about that, yeah, because, you know, when like the romantic thing is like, yeah, we're going to become one and everything. And then I said, you know, but then when you split up, you're two halves, you know?
Right, yes.
And you're not the complete person. And I notice many people also, they make their spouse or their partner...
Their life.
Like their life, like the whole thing, you know? And then they don't have a life.
And here's the problem. he or she did not fall in love with you because you were half of a person.
Right.
They fell in love with you because you were a full, interesting, dynamic person. Why are you going to drop that? Do you think that he's going to forget?
Right.
He's suddenly looking at you like, wait, you're not interesting anymore. You don't have anything to contribute to this conversation. And that's a huge problem in relationships. And I've been that girl.
Mm.
And the other problem is that then, if a woman or a man does this, then you're creating an environment for resentment. You're always putting their needs first. Again, going back to not voicing your needs. You're putting their needs first, their needs first, their needs first. And then suddenly you're like, excuse me, why aren't my needs being taken into account? Because you created that rule. You right. set that stage, and now you're trying to reset. And that's the problem.
That's
and then
true.
There's resentment, and then there's boredom, and then you break up and you're both pissed at each other.
Right. So it's important. I think it's important in the beginning to sort of like set rules, right?
Setting the standard on the very first date. I mean, that's what when we're talking about being vulnerable, I actually say get raw on the first date. Mm. This is who I am. These are my red flags. If you don't like them, that's okay. But I want to explain who I am, where I came from, why I'm this way. These are my needs. These are my expectations of you. That's also why I say women should never, ever, 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 ever pay on a first date, no matter what. Mm. I don't care if you're richer, more beautiful, yeah. more famous. If it does
sets
not
a precedent,
matter,
and then right. he's going to expect it all
sets
the time.
The precedent.
Right.
Yeah. I don't even care if somebody's like, you have alligator arms.
Yes.
I don't. Right. Exactly. They only go
it does
far.
Not matter.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm not sorry.
Yeah. Exactly. So you have to set the precedent on the first date, as right. scary as that is. But the reality is, what's wrong with being vulnerable? What's wrong with setting the precedent? What's wrong with voicing your needs? I would go on first date saying, I've been divorced twice. Well, what happens then? Well, mm-hmm. then they know. Okay. Well, it's a fact.
Well, right. And they're going to find out at some point.
Right. They're going to find out anyway. Rather them know now.
Yeah.
And if you're hiding things and you're putting out this facade for the first, people say, well, I don't trust them yet. They don't deserve it yet. They haven't proven themselves to me yet. Okay. So you're going to go on 5 dates and then you're going to show them who you are?
Yeah. That's
right.
true.
That's some nice late. Wasted time.
Right. by then, a lot of rules have been set already.
Exactly.
Huh?
And that's why my yeah. book is Screwing the Rules. It's really about who you are and being that. And really, you know, when I have my single clients, I say, get a life. That's the first single, get a life. Before you do anything, you have to get a life. If you don't have one, get one. If you don't have, if you're not passionate about your work, become passionate about a nonprofit or a hobby or a side job or a dog or I don't care. Be passionate, because that passion is so sexy.
Right.
If you're just that boring, I mean, if you go out and you're like, how's your day? Not good, boring, you know, sucky, I'm tired. Oh, well, there we go. There's an energy killer.
Yeah.
People are really going
to
love hanging out
about,
with you.
Yeah.
That just gave me anxiety.
Right?
I was like, oh, go away.
I know. That's exactly. And so many people I see on first dates or when they first meet, you know, how are you? I'm tired.
Yeah.
Oh,
good
so
talk.
Why'd you show up?
Yeah.
Because you don't know what I went through to get here today.
Right.
So if, you know, if you're not going to be there, then don't be there at all.
That's true. That makes a lot of sense, you know? I mean, who wants to be around downers, you know?
Yes, and yeah. that doesn't mean you have to be up all the time, because right. that's the facade of like, yeah, I'm always happy, which you're not. Yeah. But that doesn't mean that you, at the beginning, at the very beginning, be your best self. Don't be a fake self. Be your best self. You know, I am feeling a little bit tired today, but that's actually because I decided to wake up at 5 and go on a hike
yeah.
because I knew I was coming into the show and I wanted to just get my amazing hike in. It's going to be raining tomorrow and it's so important to me. Well, that says something about me. That shows that I'm dedicated. That shows that fitness is important to me. And that shows that I have a life work balance.
Right.
So in one little thing of I'm tired, but oh my gosh, all of these great things.
Right.
I have expressed so much about myself.
Yeah.
And that is a conversation starter instead of a killer. Like, I'm tired.
That's true, yeah. So people are actually like that on dates and stuff? I mean, they show up and they're not like excited or thrilled?
It's unbelievable. I've actually watched first dates before with a headpiece in, or an earpiece, mm-hmm. and viewing the first date occur. And they know that I'm doing this, but they forget because they have the nerves of the first date. And they actually do these things. They say rude things to each other. They put their, you know, their foot in their mouth. They say that they're tired. They say that they're bored. They say that they hate their job. They say that they, whatever it is. I've actually seen dates where guys will say, so are you happy with your weight? And she might say, you know, well, you know, because I feel like you have at least 5 pounds in your stomach to lose.
Stop it right
now.
Oh, my.
And I'm, I literally sit there dying. Like, you didn't honestly just say that to her and think that was okay.
Who are these humans? They should just quit dating once and for all.
Yeah. You see, it's because I think people meet other people and they want to mold them to the way they, they envision.
Yes.
But the thing is, you've got to find someone, even if you have a vision of who you want, then find that person, but don't find anybody and then try to change them, you know?
That's exactly why I always say that potential is not enough. You know, it's not, it's people who say, you know, he's really great and he's going to be even better because he is going to be this. No, do you love him today?
Right.
Yeah. Do you love him tomorrow? You know, it's just every step of the way you have to respect and love who they are today. You can't love their potential. I have been with guys who have said, I think you're really great and I'm going to break you down so that I can build you back up to be better.
Yeah. There you go. That's what they do to soldiers.
Because I'm clearly
know?
Not good enough as I am. Right. I mean, and that breaks. That is how people lose themselves in relationships. And that's when you have to speak up from the beginning. You know what? What you just said actually isn't okay. That doesn't make me feel good about myself. Right. And it's scary because that's tapping into your ego. Oh, my God. I'm clearly not good enough to be with this guy or this girl. So, and then we start shutting down and we start changing and then we're gone.
Oh, my God. It's like relationship terrorism. It'll breaking you down to build you back up.
And it's so common.
I know. I was in one.
Yeah. I think most of us have been. You know, it's relationships. A lot of my clients are just like, the relationships are scary. I don't even know what to do anymore because they are. They're so complicated. Mm. But that's because of the games and the manipulation. That's why relationships are complicated. We make them complicated.
Right.
We make dating complicated. If you're just you, well, it's not complicated. I'm just me. You don't like me. That's okay.
Right.
There'll be someone else who does. Yeah, it's just, that's why it's the No Games Guide to Love. It's just stop playing the game. What we think that we're doing of, well, I'm not going to call him now because of this.
Right.
Or he asked me out on a Friday for a Saturday. I'm going to pretend I'm busy. It's just, I'm going to wait to sleep with him until we've been out for 3 months. It's just stop it because you're playing a game. And games come across as manipulation. That's how they are viewed. So instead, just be true to you. I mean, I even say, do you want to have sex on the first date? Okay, if you want to have sex on the first date, then that's okay if it's your decision. Right. It's not his decision. It's not your mom's decision, your best friend's, your religion, your dating coach. It's your decision as to if that's what you want to do. But be smart about it. So if you pre-qualify, you have to pre-qualify before a first date. It's a whole thing. But pre-qualifying, it takes some time. You ask strategic questions. You get to know the person before you waste your time sitting across the table and knowing within the first 5 seconds that they're not a fit. So pre-qualify first. Have substantive email conversations. Have a 1 hour phone conversation that's essentially a date. Yeah. And then you know them and you're getting raw on these calls. You're talking about your core values. You're talking about your red flags. Then you go on a date that's not a 1 hour drinks or coffee. It's a dinner.
Right.
You are out for 5 hours.
It's not a surprise either. You know what to expect.
You know what to expect.
Right.
And then you actually connect on a core level because you're talking about things. And if after that you want to have sex, okay, have sex. Know that that doesn't mean you're automatically in a relationship. And also be aware of yourself. So if you're that chick who has sex and then becomes super attached to them and needy or emotionally shuts down, don't do it. Mm. Know yourself before you make that decision. But, you know, if you want to have sex, have sex.
Right, exactly. And it's not necessarily a relationship killer either, right?
I mean, it's not.
They say to women, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. But
right, like the men like the chase.
Yeah, but, and in some instances, they do like the chase, but they also, more than the chase, they want substance. So if you meet each other online, you're like, hey, you're hot, should we go out? Yeah. And that's all you guys say, and then you go out for a drink and then you end up in bed. Yeah, you'd completely screw that up, sweetheart.
Choices.
Yes, but if it's the other way, if he's looking for a relationship, you're looking for a relationship, then it's different. It's not just about the chase. But that's one of the important things during the pre-qualifying process. Talk about your purpose. What are you here to do? I'm here to be in a serious, long-term, committed relationship. And if they are feeling the same way, okay, then move forward. But I always say, open your mouth before you open your legs.
Yeah.
If you're comfortable enough to have sex with them, you should be comfortable enough to first Open your mouth. Express your vulnerability. Who are you as a person? What makes you human? What are your purposes? You need to know that you're on the same page. If he's like, look, I'm just out of a relationship, not interested in any capacity of a relationship, I'm just having fun, and you are in a place of, I want a relationship, don't sleep with the guy.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, be smart.
Yeah. That's true.
I have so many girlfriends that have done the, like, well, it'll just be this then, because he's not ready for a relationship. And you know what? Truthfully, I just want somebody to hang out with.
Justifying.
No, you do not. You liar.
Yeah. Justifying.
You want a husband.
Yes.
Be honest.
Yeah. And that's how we get ourselves in trouble, too, because we think in the back of our minds, I'm just going to change him. Mm. No,
maybe
you're not.
He'll grow to love me.
No, he won't. You have to be honest with yourself first, and then be honest with them.
Right.
And that's where the needs comes in. So it's thinking about, you know, when I ask someone, what do you need in a relationship? Well, I need him to be really hot, and I need him to have a good body, and I need him to have a dog, and I need him. No. Those are your wants. Actually, what do you need in a relationship? Now, on your date, talk about those things. Don't be like, so what do you provide? You know, who are you? But talk about stories. I call them core value stories. Stories that show and tell who you are as a person. Things that tap your core, that touch a little bit of vulnerability in you. Because if you give that kind of a story, it shows who you are. It shows the substance. He's going to give that kind of a story back. And now suddenly you have connected on a very deep level. If you think of a skyscraper, they don't just build skyscrapers from the ground up. That thing's going to fall down. And that's what so many of us do in relationships. Skyscrapers are built from the bottom, from the deep underground up. And that's how you have to do relationships, too. Go down before you go up.
Mm. Okay. And not go down on the woman. You don't mean that.
I mean, that comes too. But
right. You didn't expect that. But,
so, then the sex will be even better, though, if you go down before you go up emotionally.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because then you actually have a deep connection. And it's real. It's not just screwing.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be making love. But it's just you are emotionally connecting with this person instead of just banging.
Right. No, that's true. That's true. Now, let me ask you this. So we talk about, you know, the conversation that you carry and everything. But where do you meet people? I mean, what's the... Because I think that's the hardest thing is as many people as we have in LA, it's not easy meeting people.
No. Yeah.
Because, you know, you don't just walk up to somebody on the street in order to meet someone who's a good partner, right?
Well, not necessarily.
Really?
Now, a couple of things. So when you talk to people who are like, oh, my gosh, you will never you'll never guess where I met my new boyfriend. He's the nicest guy, and I met him at the most random place. Exactly. Mm. We meet people at the most random places where you would never expect, because that's when you're most open. So if you hate technology, go to the Apple store and take a class. Mm-hmm. If you have no interest in science, then go and take a class on astronomy. Like, do things that you would never do. If you're a gym rat, go on a hike. Mm. Get out of your box and go and do different things. If you think about how you are when you're a tourist, so you go out of town, you're traveling, you're asking questions, right? You're open because you don't know anything about this place. You want to know, where should I eat? Where should I, you know, what theater should I go to? So you're open. And it's the same thing if you have that tourist mentality when you're in your home location. You go and you do different things that you would never do. You don't just go to the bar where everyone knows your name. You go to a new bar where no one knows your name. And you don't just sit there hidden. You actually talk to people. You open your mouth. You communicate. Ask questions. Smile. Look like you're open for someone to come in. But you can meet people at the grocery store. Yeah. I've actually, Whole Foods Market on Lincoln and Venice, amazing. Is it Lincoln and Venice? Lincoln and Rose. Amazing pickup joint. I mean, honestly, the salad bar is ridiculous.
So really? I should just go hang out there.
It's ridiculous.
So but what? So people start talking to each other and picking them up and stuff?
But you
really?
have to be
on. I've
never
seen that at the store. I mean, they all seem
I've gone on dates with people I've met at the salad bar.
Really? Wow.
But you have to be open to it. So don't just... Mm. Here's the thing is walk around in life as if you're on a reality television show. That doesn't mean you're being fake. That means that you're being on, that you put some effort into your appearance. Because oftentimes we are only on when we go to a party or a bar. other than that, we're shut down. We're on our phone. We're looking down. We're standing in line at Starbucks. We're looking down. We are not allowing anyone to come into our space. So instead, go out there, be open, make eye contact with people, smile, allow them in. And yes, you absolutely will meet people at random places, like at Whole Foods, like at the Apple Store, like walking around the promenade. The other day I was picked up on by this guy. I thought it was so brilliant. I was running across the street. I was actually running to meet someone, but I was running across the street and there was a guy on the corner and he stopped me and he's like, "I'm so sorry. Was this where we were supposed to meet?" It was so, because at first I was like, "Wait, what?" And he said, I know I'm late and I wasn't sure. I'm Adam, right? And like, oh, that was a really good way to pick me up. I'm actually meeting someone else, but thank you. But trying, getting out of your box, trying something that maybe you wouldn't normally do, because what's the harm?
Yeah.
We're always afraid of, well, what if I look stupid?
Well, the rejection,
well, who cares? You're never going to see him again, honestly.
Yeah, but it could be devastating for people, you know? I mean, it
can, the rejection, if you put tough. The weight on it. Right. I mean, that's why it's release that weight. Just have the, go out there thinking, I want to meet people. I want to just smile. I want to connect. That's it. Not, right. I have to find, he's going to be my next boyfriend. No, he's not. Just go out and have fun.
Right.
I've met people at airports that I've ended up dating. Two people.
Mm.
And it's just because I go, and I'm not like performing on, but I'm excited to go on my trip. I'm smiling. I put myself together and I end up meeting people.
Right. And people also need to stop taking things so personally. Just because you hit on somebody and they're not interested,
right,
they might have a boyfriend.
Exactly.
Or they might already be seeing somebody. Or they,
whatever. Or there might be a player.
Right.
And you don't want to be with them anyway.
Exactly. there's more to the story than just you.
Yes, exactly. That's a really good point. I mean, it's the weight and then also taking stuff so personally. Let it go.
Right.
It's just have the assumption that he's not going to call, but don't act like he's not going to call. Don't go into it like, yeah, here's my number, but I know you're not going to call anyway, so I don't even know why I'm giving it to you, but here it is. Well, now he's not going to give it to you. You're right.
Yeah.
You just made your bed.
Yeah. I don't know. I can never do it. You know, I mean, I can't. And that's the thing. I mean, once the ice is broken, I have no problem talking to someone for hours about anything. But it's breaking that ice, you know. It's like you feel that every woman is like afraid that someone's going to pick her up, you
right.
know, that someone's going to hit on her and everything. And in the store, I see them sometimes just walking around like scaredy cats or something, you know. And they'll avoid eye contact at any price. And it's just like you go, Where's all this picking up they talk about in the market?
You know what? I think you made a really interesting point. It's the icebreakers that are hard, but then you can get into the conversation that's substantive. So
right.
why don't you just push past the icebreaker? Mm-hmm. Just don't even use that. Just get into the substantive conversation. So what I mean is, if you see someone who's smiling, go up to them and say, "What's making you so happy today? I love your smile."
Mm.
That's going to be, if someone said that to me, then I would think, I was just smiling. What? You know what? I'm having a really great day. I just got this great whatever it was that happened. And then you're in a substantive conversation instantly.
Right. Yeah.
So that breaks the ice. So do say things that you wouldn't expect. Mm-hmm. Say, I mean, it's similar to dirty talking in sex, which I talk to people about how dirty talk is so essential in sex, but people are so afraid of dirty talk because there's this expectation of perfection, like you have to say something sexy. No, you don't. You just have to say what you're seeing, what you're feeling, what you want. It's so, so simple. It's the same thing with picking up. You just say what you see, say what you feel. I could not help but come over. I was watching you from across the room. I swear I'm not a stalker, but you just are so radiant today. And I had to come over and say hi.
That's great.
How simple.
It's so disarming, too.
It is.
You're like, oh, tell me more.
It is. And it's honest.
Yeah.
Instead of like, so, yeah, I mean, like, oh, give me a break.
Right.
I've heard that 1,000 times. I don't want this fake. Don't put this facade. It's just be real from the very beginning.
Also, when somebody uses a line, you're like, well, I know that you have that rehearsed.
Yes.
So who have you used it on before?
Exactly.
Because then I'm not special to you.
Exactly.
And I hate you already.
And it's the same thing with online dating. With the canned emails that people send. Don't I like... I'm not even going to respond. If you can't actually say something personalized, if you can't look at my profile and say something that's specific to me, then I'm not responding to you.
Right. And you'd be amazed. I mean, some people apply for jobs that way. You know, it's just a form letter.
Yes.
And, you know, it has nothing to do with this. And you're like, did you read the ad? You know, I mean, what is this? You know? So you're right. You're right about that. So your book is titled Screwing the Rules, The No Games Guide to Love.
Yes.
And but I noticed this book, you talk to women specifically, right?
I do talk with women. But what's interesting is I also have a YouTube page. I've had over 25 million views on YouTube. And a lot of my followers are men. And the reason is because men want to understand what women are thinking.
Right.
And so I'm sort of like the translator. Mm-hmm. So I help men understand women and women understand men. So yes, this book is for women, but a lot of men are reading it because they want to know what we think. Right. They want to know how to talk to us. And that's something I actually used to write for Playboy and Men's Journal and FHM when that was around. And sometimes I actually wrote as a man. So I've been this person. I also used to date like a man, which is why I know so much about dating. And that was, you know, like not feeling at all, not caring at all about the people I dated.
Awesome. Yeah, I just subscribed, by the way.
Thank you.
I need it right now.
Is that how men date, though?
Sometimes.
Really?
Yeah. Not always. Absolutely. Men do have feelings. Men are afraid. Men have the same things that women go through. But sometimes men just date to date and to screw and to have fun and to not care. And I've been that person. Right. And so I know how to shut myself emotionally down like that. And that's how was able to write this book from really both the men's and women's perspective. Mm. I have clients all over the world. I talk to them through video Skype, and many of them are men because it's basically they're coming and saying, I have no idea how to date, what my girlfriend is thinking, what my wife is thinking. Like, can you please translate her behavior to me? Tell me what to do so I can do it right.
I don't understand texting now. Like, that's it.
Texting can ruin a relationship before it begins. It's really? Very, very dangerous, especially at the beginning of a relationship, because we get to this point where, first of all, you start texting, you talk a little bit online, you exchange phone numbers, you don't have a phone call, you just start texting. Texting is supposed to be used for just flirtatious banter and information.
Right, so and very short stuff, short. Not for conversations.
Yes, and the problem is that we use that to try and get to know each other.
Right.
And the problem is that there's no foundation. I don't really care about you yet, honestly, because I don't know you. And you don't
chit-chat.
Care about me. And the chit-chat is bullshit. I really don't care about that. And if you text me in the morning saying, hey, have a good day, after a while, it's like, thanks. I don't even know why I'm texting you. I don't even know you.
Yeah. And I feel like with the texting, either like it dies or like somebody is trying to force the conversation.
Or it gets sexy.
Right. And it's just so, it's like a job.
And that's why you really should not be doing texting until you are in a relationship. Except the little, you know, oh my gosh, I just saw this. And it reminded me of you. Mm-hmm. It can't be just, hi, what's up? How are you? Because then you're also looking to them for entertainment. Basically, what you're doing is saying, I'm bored.
Right.
And I want you to entertain me. Well, you know what? I'm busy. And I don't have time to entertain you. And so then you become boring because your text conversation is boring. Therefore, you are boring and the relationship is dead in the water. I see it happen all the time. So instead, once you exchange phone numbers, set a phone date. Set it. Like, what time can we talk? 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Great. I'll give you a call. You have your 1 hour phone call. At the end of that call, you set the date. Then, in preparation for the date, if you want to send a couple of texts, fine, just to keep the conversation flowing a little bit, that's fine. But you don't do these whole, you know, constant needy, good morning, how's your day? How was your day? Did you have a nice day? I'm going to bed now. I don't care, honestly. No. And now I feel like you're checking in on me, and I actually am on another date. So you have to be really careful about texting.
Okay. You mentioned something about the holidays coming up and people tend to break up around this time.
Yeah, so this is actually the most popular week of the year for breakups. And it's sad because it's right before the holidays, but it makes a lot of sense also on many levels. Number one, The holidays are oftentimes about love and family and being with people you care about. And if you're in a relationship with someone who you honestly don't care about, you don't want to spend the holidays with them. Because you know you're just going to get even more annoyed. You also don't want to buy a present for them. Or you don't want them to buy a present for you because then you feel bad that they just spent money on you. So it goes both ways. There are also a lot of stresses around the holidays. You're spending too much money. You have to go to holiday parties, and how do you present your significant other? You're drinking too much. You're eating too much. You're gaining weight. You're waking up hungover. All of these things create stress. And if you don't look at your partner as someone to help you relieve the stress, it's going to be so much more apparent that they are not for you. The problem is some people think, well, but it's the holidays. I don't want to break up yet, so I'm going to put it off. And then I'm going to put it off. And I'm going to keep on putting it off. Well, the next popular time to break up is in the spring, in March, spring cleaning.
So after Valentine's Day.
So do it now or wait until March. You know, I have been in relationships that I've hung on to through the holidays because I felt bad. Well, guess what? The holidays sucked because I was with them. Yeah. So I have now historically broken up right before the holidays. Always. I'm like always the single person at the holiday party because I know that I will have a much better time if I'm alone and enjoying myself and owning my fabulous singleness and, you know, having my own life and then moving into the new year, new man.
Sounds good.
I love it.
And on that note, we're going to wrap up. Laurel, go ahead and give your stuff, your contact, your website.
So my book is Screwing the Rules, The No Games Guide to Love. My website is screwingtherules.com. You can learn more about me at laurelhouse.com, and you can go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, anywhere online to buy the book. Buy them for all of your single friends because, they believe me, they all need them.
Yeah. There you go. I think we realized that after this show.
Yes.
All right, Laurel, thank you so much for joining us. You're always a lot of fun. You're always welcome back.
Thanks.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Jen.
Thanks.
See you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.